Nick gave me permission about 3 or 4 weeks ago to take this talk somewhere different to what was advertised. So if you're disappointed that we're not in the passage that we're supposed to be on, a humble prayer, praying with humility, then I apologise. But don't blame me, because, well, when somebody gives you the freedom to speak on something, it's a blessing and a curse, and some of you will know that. Because there's that sense of freedom that you get, and you go, oh, wow, you know, what can I speak on? And then there's that curse of, oh my gosh, what should I speak on? Because suddenly it's like, well, maybe there is something, and I've got to just kind of tune in all the more with God to find that passage or that topic that we should be looking at. So I thought, what I'll do, we're in the Dirty Glory series, and I thought I will just skim read the book. Now, when I say that, what I mean is stop at each point where I have written something or underlined the book, words in the book, and just kind of take a little look at it and see if anything jumps out. Well, I think it would have been quicker if I didn't stop at the bits that I hadn't underlined. Because for me, it's been one of those books where constantly I felt challenged and provoked into action. So anyway, I'm skimming through the book, and this word just jumps out at me. Pilgrimage. Pilgrimage. Now, here's the thing. I'm looking through this book, and I find the word pilgrimage, but I'm thinking, number one, I'm not really sure about that. And number two, I couldn't find it again. First time through, I found it. Second time through, I was like, well, where did that come from? That can't be you, Lord. So I just parked it. I didn't dismiss it. I just parked it. About 2 hours later, I was due to be in this building, in the faith space, with Sarah Marshall, the new chaplain here. Some of you will have been here a couple of weeks ago when we interviewed her. Roland from St. Michael's was there. We know him, we partner with him, don't we, in various projects. And Eddie, a Catholic priest from Speak. And we were having a chaplaincy meeting. And it was really good. Sarah led it really well, really personable. It gave us the opportunity to just kind of share what was on our hearts. And it got round to Roland, and he said, well, I'm actually going on a 3-month sabbatical. We're used to those, aren't we? A 3-month sabbatical after Easter. And I'm going on a pilgrimage to the Camino Santiago. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. I didn't tell him. So anyway, a couple of days later, I was just reading, and the chapter that I was reading started to talk about Christian pilgrimage. And at that point, I thought, okay, God, I really think this is of you. And so for the past 10 days or so, I have really held this word pilgrimage in my heart. But if there was any doubt that I didn't think that was where we should be this morning, then last night, when I just randomly chucked on the TV guide, and saw that earlier in the day, I mean, it's not even like, why would you look at what's been on? And you can't see it, you can't watch it, it's gone. And just this word jumped out. By the way, I would recommend it, I've only watched the first episode, but people talking about their faith or no faith and why. Eight episodes, it's on iPlayer, it's on Saturdays, there you go, nice plug for you. But pilgrimage, that is what I believe we need to be looking at this morning. So what is it? Well, pilgrimage is a pilgrim's journey. Didn't say a lot to me either. Maybe it does to you, but it didn't say a lot to me. So what is a pilgrim? A pilgrim is a traveller. One who has come from afar. One who is on a journey to a holy place. Now, I know that definition is referring to a physical journey, a bit like the Camino de Santiago, where literally you go and travel somewhere or even walk from where you are with a destination in mind. I understand that, but I'm telling you, something leapt in my spirit when I read that definition. Because I said, that's me. I said, that is who I am. I am a traveler. I am one who has come from afar. I am one who has been brought near by the love of God. I was once far from God, and he brought me on a journey with him and to him. And there's a whole host of us this morning that I think could agree with that, couldn't we? And celebrate that truth. All right. So there's two types of people. We know this, right? There's two types of people. Not two models, Andy. Two types of people. Hoarders and chuckers. Okay? Hoarders and chuckers. Now, the hoarders, you can't bear to throw anything away in case it comes in handy. All right? Because you know the day that you throw it away, it's a law. The next day, you'll be like, I threw it away. It's not there. That literally happened to me like 2 weeks ago. I can't even remember what it is now. But I threw it away, and the next day I was like, I've got it. It was so frustrating. And then, of course, there's chuckers. You can't stand clutter. The worktops have got to be clean. They've got to be clean. Nothing there at all. The car boot is to be empty. No, no, no. Maybe not even the shopping bags. Maybe they've got to be neatly put away. And, of course, the idea of putting something in the attic. It's not going in the attic. That's got to go. So the question is, what are you? Let's find out. Who would say you're a hoarder? Okay, hands down. Who would say you're a chucker? And who now wants to disagree with the person who is next to them? Okay, well, I'm a hoarder. And I'm a hoarder who can sometimes be unorganized. And an example of that is what's in my bag. Now, some of you will know this already. Most of you won't. If I'm locking up the building, perhaps after youth on a Thursday night, or maybe I've just got some stuff and I'm coming to church, it's not uncommon for somebody to kindly say, can I give you a hand? And it's not uncommon for me to perhaps, if I've just got my bag in my hand, say, or maybe you could just take my bag. And I'm not kidding, every single person that's ever held my bag has gone, what have you got in that? Okay, well this morning, we're going to find out. Okay? Because, yes, my wife is saying, oh no. Where should we start? Let's start with the bag here. Let's start with the little pocket bit. Now, these are fantastic, right? Now, there's nothing in it. It's just, like, what could you put in that? Now, that is exciting, isn't it? Seriously, thanks, Dave. Dave put his thumb up. Like, genuinely, look at that. There's nothing in it. But the potential that that holds once it's empty. You know, like paper clips or pins or could just clutter up my bag. So you never know. You never, ever know. A wallet which is empty. Yes! Oh, Paul! You couldn't write it. Lovely. Keys, I normally lose those, so that's good. That's empty because they did have pens and I've given them out to the youth. Well, charger, because obvious reasons. Church keys, EpiPen, important. I got stung by a bee in the year 2000, and I had an allergic reaction. So you never know. Headphones, that's good. Chocolate, where are the youth? Are you filling your forms? Ash is not, he's on his phone. No chocolate for you after. Okay. Another charger. No, it's getting boring now. Okay, right. Books are good. This is actually Paul's fault. He borrowed it for about 4 years, gave it back to me about a week ago. So he should have put it on my shelf, because clearly I'm not going to do that. All right. That's for Ollie. He's not here. Let's shame him. No, Ted's not well, actually. Okay. Great book. You've got to carry that around with you, haven't you? You know? Got to. We've got... Oh, the menu. The menu for youth. Anyone want a... we got pizza. We don't actually sell it anymore, so that's old anyway. That's empty. This is going to be golden. Okay, I thought this was still here. My prayer for Will and Bex, 8th of the 9th, 2018. This is the prayer that my wife read out at Will and Bex's wedding. We were going to give it you, and I said, I'll put it in a bag, and the next time I see them. So you can have that later. Oh, we're getting a bit messy here. Let's get a bit spiritual. Oh, journal. Now, not just current journal, 2 years ago journal, because I might want to read it. Okay, notepad. Oh, consent form. No, Paul, no details. GDPR, man, you see. No details, it's been ripped off. Okay, and pad. That's about it. Oh, there is a Bible at the bottom. No, we'll leave that one. There is one more thing. And I just don't seem to be able to go anywhere without this. My laptop. Now, I'm not going to use that this morning. But I don't like technology, really. And I know some people can just, like, use their phone and get what they need. But I just prefer laptops. But this is quite an old laptop. It's kind of 5 years old, and it's quite heavy. But I just carry it, because then that way I've got the opportunity to get what I need, even though most of the time I don't need it. Anybody else live like this? Yay, a little bit. Oh, there's one or two, good admit. All right, fine, okay. So we'll just leave that there. I'm walking in the cemetery a couple of Mondays ago. Got my bag on my back. And I just have this moment of realization. Rob, this is how you live so often. Rob, this is how the church, my church, God speaking to me, this is how my church lives often. This is how people in the world live so often. They carry this weight around with them on their backs. Unnecessary. They carry these bulky loads, most of which is just totally not needed. Some of it's even good stuff. But it's just unnecessary. Unforgiveness, disappointment, frustration, anger, guilt, shame, unworthiness, regret, hurt. I don't know about you, but I can carry that stuff like a weight on my back. And what's worse, I think, is, you know, it wasn't like I realized that was on my back because I was like really tired as such. It was more, it was just there. And what that showed me was I just got used to this weight. Like, honestly, it's not even that I get annoyed at the fact that my bag weighs that much. And yet sometimes I pick up somebody else's bag and I'm like, there's nothing in it. I don't need anything. What? Why don't you get a little tub that you can put something in? I'd gotten so used to carrying this around with me, it became almost a part of me. It became the norm. Maybe that is what your life is a bit like. And yet, can you imagine? Seriously now, just think about this pilgrimage that you can do across Spain. Can you imagine going on a pilgrimage, going, yeah, I'm going to take my laptop, you know, nice beefy heavy one, going to take four books that you're probably not even going to read, going to take containers you're not going to use, going to take chargers, going to take headphones, etc. Things that just clutter up and weigh you down. And yet this is how I can live. And I think that there are people in this room that can identify with me. As pilgrims, as those who are far, who are from far off on a journey to becoming more like our God and dwelling with Him forever, we can do this. So what do? We just acknowledge it and head down and, well, we're in this together, don't worry. No, the Bible's got much to say about this. Hebrews 12:1 says this: let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Or perhaps as Tom Wright puts it in one of his commentaries, we must put aside each heavy weight and the sin which so easily gets in the way. What's the first thing we've got to do? It's throw off each heavy weight. Now this word, the Greek word for weight that's used here, is the only time it's used in the New Testament, onkos. It's what's prominent, it's what protrudes, it's mass, it's bulk. And it gives the example, burden, weight, and encumbrance. So I want to take those three words, burden, weight, encumbrance. What do they mean? It's a load, typically a heavy one. Or weight, heaviness, load, mass, or encumbrance, hindrance, obstruction, obstacle, constraint, handicap, nuisance. Are we getting this morning? Heavy, unhelpful stuff that gets in the way. What's the writer of Hebrews saying? It's got to go. Throw it off. Get rid. Stop hoarding. When I got here 6 years ago, though, one of the weights on my back was unforgiveness. thank God that is something that I've been able to work through, both through prayer. I had some time with Neil, who's a counsellor that we can all access. It was tough. It was hard. These people who I'd held something against had hurt me, had deeply wounded me and disappointed me. I was weighed down until just before we left, I was on a walk, I had Whisper with me, I can remember it so clearly, and it had been snowing. And there was a lake, it was a beautiful scene. In fact, I think it was a Sunday morning. And we were in between churches, moving from our old one, coming here. And I just knew, I cannot carry this weight any longer. So I literally made a snowball for each person where I felt that I was harbouring something against. And to be honest with you, I would say that in nearly all the cases, I felt like I had been completely wronged. I didn't even feel it was even close to 50-50. And I took that snowball and I launched them one by one into the lake to say, God, I give them to you. God, I bless them in the name of Jesus. God, they may have hurt me, but I pray blessing in the name of Jesus upon them. And I'm telling you, as that happened, this weight began to go. And I'm not saying it just went in that moment. In fact, as we moved, I was aware that this was something that I was going to have to continually do until it just became the norm, and actually I sensed that it had completely gone. Maybe unforgiveness is something that you can identify with, a heavy weight that you hold on to. The King James version of this verse is really interesting. It says this: let us lay aside every weight. So just a slightly different wording there. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So what's the second thing we've got to do? It's to throw off every weight. So not just the heavy weight, but every weight. You see, some of this stuff is good stuff. In fact, a lot of it, if not all of it, is good. It's just I'm misusing it by carrying it around with me. So what do I mean? I mean that there are things in our lives, and you know this, although I pray by the Holy Spirit that we get illumination as to what these things are in our life and courage to follow through this morning. There are things in our life which are good things, but they have become or are becoming snares to you this morning. Clothes, home, social media, holidays, friends and family, TV, YouTube, alcohol, food, football, music. These are good things. In and of themselves, it's not that they're evil, but it's the place that we allow them to take. It's the way that we use them in our lives. As their one commentator said, if they're not helping, they're hindering. If they're not pushing us into Jesus, they are pulling us away. So let's just take a couple of those things. For example, social media. I was amazed. I had a conversation not so long ago with a relative of mine, and I couldn't believe what they said. They said, I'm off social media. Now, the reason I was amazed was, and I'm not exaggerating here, this was a person who, when they came back off holiday, you did not need to say, did you have a good holiday? Because they would post 50 snaps every day of that holiday, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I'm not talking about the odd one, the odd nice thing and all that. Literally 50 a day. So they were completely addicted to social media, there's no question about it. And they just said, I mean, when I say I'm off, I just, and occasionally now, I will put something on. And I just couldn't get this. So I'm just like trying to dig and go, why? How did this happen? And they said something incredibly profound. They said, I just realized that I got to a point where I was organizing my time and my photos around then showing other people what I was doing. They weren't taking photos like, oh, isn't this fantastic, let's capture this moment and treasure it. They literally realized they were arranging things and doing certain things so that they can portray an image of themselves to the rest of the world. And they said, I feel liberated. Honestly, I never saw that coming. That was the word they used. I'm quoting, they said, I feel so liberated. It had become a snare to them. I've got two friends. They don't even know each other. Both of them have laid football down. Now, this is a tough one, particularly on Merseyside. But they identify, one of them, literally, he said, he got to the point where he was worrying himself, like not being able to sleep, about what team the manager was going to be put out the next day. Like, is he going to get it right? It was affecting his sleep. He laid it down. The other friend didn't say it wasn't quite as bad as that. I mean, he's a Man United fan, so it's a good thing to lay down anyway, isn't it? But anyway. But honestly, I have a friend who went on a clothes fast. Okay? They just identified that this is becoming a snare. I am not going to buy any more clothes for a certain amount of time, and then when I feel like it's the right time, I will begin slowly to go into that. I have another friend, in fact, I was speaking to them last week, a new friend from Bible College. And this is a fun one. We were just having lunch in the cafe at college, and I was like, oh, interesting lunch. It was like salad. And then I was like, oh, cottage cheese. I haven't had cottage cheese for years. Lovely. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm on this diet. Oh, great. You know, boring. So tried to change the subject. And he's like, no, really. Like, and tried to kind of just tell me a bit about his journey into it. He said, I just realized I was not in control of my appetite. If I wanted to eat, I would eat. If I wanted something, I would have it. There was no kind of question of should I. It was just appetite wants, stomach wants, gets. And he said it was incredible to me, just the weight I was putting on, and the words he used, I'll quote him, he said, I was not in control of my body. My body was in control of me. So he had to lay it down for his own health, but also for his own spiritual health, because he realized food was controlling him. If he wanted it, he got it. Hebrews says, throw off every weight, not just the heavy ones, even some of the good stuff, the stuff which we wouldn't even be embarrassed about, that people know that we do, or places we go, or things that we buy. But in our spirit, perhaps this morning, something's going, yeah, that thing, that's gotta go. The last part of the King James Version, just end, you might have caught it with, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. This word in the Greek, interesting one to try and pronounce, euperistatos, I believe, is again one usage of this word in the New Testament. And it's an incredible definition. To surround or skillfully surround. It gives the example, a competitor thwarting a racer in every direction. Just imagine that. Somebody who is seeking to race, somebody who is seeking to walk, and something surrounding them in every direction is just hemming them in and holding them back and weighing them down. That's a picture of that sin in your life and my life when I allow it to become what it was never meant to become in my life. Let me ask you this. What's surrounding your pilgrimage? What's surrounding your life which is hemming you in, weighing you down, pulling you back? What do you keep bumping into? What keeps tripping you up? And lastly, we need to pick up what you need. Yes, we need to lay down those heavy weights. Yes, we need to lay down those things, even if they are good, but we then need to replace that with something better. The principle of replacement. The principle of doing a 180 and doing something the opposite. Matthew has something wonderful recorded here. Matthew 11:28. Come to me. We know this verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And what? And I'll give you rest. There's a transaction there. Did you catch it?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a transaction there. The past 3 months have been a process of me and Katie trying to put down disappointment and put down frustration and pick up acceptance and pick up trust. And I'm telling you that when that hit us at Christmas, it was unbelievable. And I know nobody was effectively dying and that people faced worse stuff, but I'm telling you, it was so traumatic. And some of you sadly know this from your own lives. where you watched a loved one in such pain and you are helpless and you can do nothing. And then you watch the result of that day in, day out, and the impact that it brings on them, on you, on your kids, on the dreams in their heart. In the past 3 months, for us, have been about seeking to put down that disappointment, put down that frustration, and pick up acceptance of God, you're good anyway. And that all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. And I'm standing on that promise, God. I don't feel like it. I feel rubbish. And I feel sad and I feel down and I feel weighed down. But God, I want to get through that rubbish of feeling to claim that truth that you are good and you are for me and you love me and you're with me. And that anything that happens on this earth is of a temporary nature anyway, because I am called to a greater place. To throw off frustration and confusion, doubt and fear, and instead to pick up acceptance and trust. It's certainly what he's calling me to today. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a give and there is a take here this morning. There is a give and there is a take. There is a give in the sense of we need to bring that burden. We need to bring the heavyweights, that like the massive ones, which are like, we just know what it is. Or maybe we can't put it into words, but we know it's there. And it's just huge. But not just the heavy ones. You know, just the clutter, the things that just get in there, even the useful things, the good things that are just holding us down. And he's saying today, give that to me, and in place, take rest. Take trust. Take peace. Take joy. Take that which I have bought for you on the cross that is rightfully yours. As Paul rightfully said this morning, the things that we were singing are what he sings over us, that he speaks over us. Live by those things. I'm going to invite the band to come back up now, because there's two responses this morning. And you don't have to do either. But I believe some of you absolutely want to respond. I know I do. The first is we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song which says this. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. It's true. It's absolutely true this morning. He's calling you. I know it. I don't always feel like this, guys, but I know this is where we need to be this morning. To the point where I even know this is the song we need to be finishing with. Because this is it for some of us here. We're hurting, we're broken within, we're overwhelmed by that weight of our sin. The really bad stuff, but some of the good stuff. But it's whether we're going to make that exchange this morning. And in a moment, we're going to share communion together, and that will be our second response, if you like. But let's start by opening up our hearts. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able. And you use this time as you need to with God. If you just need to look at those words and meditate, if you need to sing it as loud as you ever have, if you just need quiet, whatever, this is between you.
Come to